standing right there. Y'all keep playing it. All right. Think about what we're saying. We were not born into the royal family until the royal son, Jesus Christ, gave his life so that we could be adopted into the family. And now we have within our bodies, spiritually, the blood of the King flowing through us, making us royal children. Amen. So come on, we're going to sing this. When we sing it, it says, oh, put those words up. I can't think and talk of this. All the rich, all the poor, all the people, all yours. We are daughters, we are sons, more than mortals. We are royals. Amen. Come on, let's sing it. Here we go.
Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Come on, give him praise. You know, we get our eyes set on so many things. And the presence of the Lord, man, that's where the impossible becomes possible. It's in the presence of the Lord where all of a sudden I felt broken and I felt unloved, and all of a sudden, just one second in the presence of the Lord, all of a sudden I feel healed and part of the family. We have a tendency to miss that sometimes. If you're saved right now, I want you to just close your eyes. And I want you to lift your hands. Just take a moment to thank the great God that we have. Just lift your hands and say, man, I don't know where I'd be without you, Lord. Lord, come on, just thank Him. You don't have to sing, just... God, you are the great God who loves us. Come on, just talk to Him.
So much grace. Thank you, Lord.
We honor you, Lord.
Why we call it amazing. So much grace.
Come on, I want you to declare it right now. Lift your hands and sing it out as loud as you can.
How great is our God.
Come on. Come on, use your voice to declare it.
How great is our God.
Come on, lift Him up. Lift
sing
him up.
With me, how great is our God.
Chased. God, I thank you. There's so much grace. Daddy, we love you. Father, we pray that you will be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Amen. Woo! That was good, wasn't it? Amen. Man, I'm glad you're here this morning. Glad you decided to be with us and on this, our last Sunday of sign-ups for life groups. I want to make sure that you find one and you sign up. If you are a first-time visitor, we want to tell you we love you. We're glad you're here. And we appreciate you spending time with us. So what we would ask you to do, all first-time visitors, is to walk out those double doors to the left. To the left, there's a kiosk there. And fill out a card. We got a gift for you. It's a nice mug, and you'll enjoy it. And don't let the church members steal it from you, because if you leave it laying around, they'll walk off with it, because we don't give them one. We make them buy them. So we just want to tell you we're glad you're here. And so let's give a hand for our first-time visitors. All right, it's our time for our LM Minute.
We're excited. This Saturday is a sale at Twice as Nice.
Wait. Is it like sidewalk sale? Because, you know, no, I like sidewalk sales. Yeah. I don't really want to buy a sidewalk for a sale for what?
It's not a sidewalk sale. It's a dollar sale, and you don't want to miss it.
Wait. Twice. You're selling dollars? What kind of sale?
While he's still figuring this out, one thing we are concrete on is this Saturday, 9 to 12, there will be a sale at Twice as Nice. We've got a lot of amazing stuff. You don't want to miss it.
Hey, is it still a dollar for the boat, or is it a dollar for the concrete, or is it a dollar sale for...
You've heard us tell you over the last 2 weeks that we've changed our e-giving processor to push pay. But we want to let you know that Simple Give was our old one. We will no longer be using them as of this coming Saturday, the 3rd. So make sure you sign up for your new account with PushPay. All you have to do is go to our church website and click on Give and simply follow the instructions on that page.
Corn dogs.
Absolutely. Love them things. With some ketchup, mustard.
Yeah. Hey, you know life groups have already started.
Yeah.
Billy, tell me you...
Come on, man. I don't have time. I'm just so busy.
What do you mean you don't have time? We're all busy. I know.
Oh, no more corn dogs.
What are we gonna do?
Don't be like Billy. Get connected and join a life group. It might just save your life.
As Dan put it so well last week, the Sweetheart Banquet is not just for couples, it's also for people with sweet hearts. And to see who qualifies, we develop a series of questions to see if you have a sweet heart.
Have you ever adopted a rescue?
Yes.
Have you ever cried watching a Disney movie?
Yeah.
Hey, Jacob.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, dude, are you into sappy love songs?
Sappy love songs? Are you kidding me?
Hey, Todd, do you watch the Hallmark Channel?
No. Why? Did Nina say I did?
Hey, Mothman, I think you got a spotlight right here. No, I'm sorry. I think it's right here. Oh, no, right here.
Of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter his second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Let's pray. Father, I pray that, God, you'll give me the ability to communicate, Lord. I pray that we will understand. God, we've lost sight of some things. Father, we've lost sight of some things, and God, we've got to remind ourselves of who we are. God, I pray that you will touch us, speak to us, reveal yourself to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I would love for you all to pick up a shirt. Who am I shirt? They got some out there finally. Who am I? That's a series we're on because we are in a crisis of identity in our country. People don't know who they are. They don't even know what gender they are. And so we've got to understand that God has an identity for us. Amen? God has an identity. We started 3 weeks ago. We were made in the image and likeness of God. Now, obviously, God didn't give us his body, because the Bible says God doesn't have a body. So what was he talking about? The image and likeness was the three things we learned was his nature, his place and authority, and his purity, his righteousness. Now that's the way, that was the original intent. That's the way God wanted it to be. He wanted us to have his place, his authority. He wanted us to have his righteousness. He wanted us to have his soul, where he has a thinker and emotions and a will to choose. We got our will. We are not animals that live by instinct. We have the ability to think, to choose. All of that is in the image and likeness of God. Then last week we learned about the breath of life. The Holy Spirit breathed the breath of life. That's what energizes all these things. That's what starts all these things, is the breath of life. We're the only creature that he breathed his breath into us. And then we learned Jesus did it to his disciples. We learned about the indwelling Holy Spirit last week and the empowering Holy Spirit last week. That you are born again by the Spirit. He breathes and indwells in you the breath of life. We learn the Holy Spirit is nothing to be afraid of. But he also empowers us to do, to take his place, to take his authority. He gives gifts. He grows fruit. He does all those things in our lives. Now, what did God want from the beginning? This is what you need. And today, look, I'm going to go slow. I might even just stop in the middle of this and make sure we understand. Because this is where it breaks down. Because this is the way God relates to us. And if we don't understand it, and if we are not sure of it, we'll break down the scripture in a wrong way. Jesus Christ came. Anybody want to argue? He was the revelation of God. Correct? All right. When asked by this man named Nicodemus, here are the words he chose. You must be born again. What you've got to understand is, and what I've got to understand from the very beginning, God wanted family. God wanted family from the very beginning. Jesus said, look, you got to be born. That's family terms. You want to be part of this family? You want to get into the kingdom? You want to live in the kingdom? You got to be born into it. Right? That's family terms. Now you got to know that. Because if you don't, you will misunderstand all of his commands. You'll get religious. You'll get legalistic. You'll get overwhelmed. You'll get embarrassed. You'll get all these other things. God wanted family. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at what he said. This is New Testament. Same thing. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God was interested. God's word says he wants a family. Now, where does it all start? And I want to hit this point until I feel like you got it. Where does it all start? You have got to have the revelation that he is Father. He's Father. In Matthew chapter 6, what was the first thing they did? Are you hearing? Matthew chapter 6, they said, God, we want to talk to, Jesus, we want to talk to God like you do. You can read it later. They ask him, teach us how to pray. What they ask you, teach us, we want to talk to him like you do. And man, I have heard a gazillion sermons about all that different, the Lord's Prayer. And we miss the main one. If you don't get the main one, all the other stuff, you'll try to earn all the other stuff. You'll feel like it's based on your performance. You'll feel all those things. The first thing Jesus said to him, I will. Yes, I'll teach you. Start out by calling him Father. Our Father. In fact, in another place he said, we can call him Dad. Wow. In Romans 8, 15, let's look at this. Romans 8, 15 through 17. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father, that's Arabic term, daddy. It means daddy in English. The Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. The Spirit that indwells in me tells me that's your Father. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him. Do you understand that God, when I get born again, God, I am born into a family where God is Father. I know, I recognize that this is why Satan is attacking the human family. Because when you use the word father around some people, them's fighting words. Right? Some people talk about family and they just break down. We'd weep for days if I let everybody in here tell about the pains of their family. Some of us had good families, some of us had bad. But listen to me. Do you understand? I'm going to try to help you here. First the flesh, first the physical, then the spiritual, correct? Isn't that the way God does fleshly things to show us spiritual truths, correct? Symbols all through the Bible, symbols in the Old Testament are pointing toward what Christ does inside us. Are you hearing me? Some of you got some bad genes. some of you are bald as an eagle, man. You can trace that back to what? Your DNA, right? Some of you are short. Some of you are tall. Some of you can't gain an ounce. Some of you can walk by food and gain 20 pounds. Has your doctor ever said this? You have a tendency. Your family, has they ever asked for your family medical history? What are they asking for? Where you come from? Who are you? Oh, you better start watching. Your dad died of heart attack. Your dad, mom died of cancer. You got this, you got that. All these different things. And now those things are physical facts, right? But when I became born again, I became part of the DNA pool that comes from God the Father. Now, God's DNA is in me. The same blood that flowed through the Apostle Paul and Peter and David, even Jesus. Now that's in my family line. That's who I am. He is my God. He is my Father. I have his DNA. That is my family history. See, some of you still concentrating on all your past and your mama didn't love you and all that stuff. Forget all that stuff. If you're born again, I got a dad that happens to be the King of the universe. It's in me. See, that's what I was talking about. I made a statement last week. Last week I made a statement that said, if we are born again and are filled with the Spirit, our lives should be marked by the Holy Spirit, right? Remember I said that? Why? Why should it be? Because that's what our family is. That's what happens with my family. We're marked by the Holy Spirit. If you are born again, it is in your DNA to see miracles happen. It is in your DNA not to be insecure and not to be lonely and all that stuff. I'm not lonely because I got a family of billions of brothers and sisters. See, here's the sad thing. You just can't get over that. There's a spirit, I call it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to read your Bible. You can find it. There's a spirit of Mephibosheth that's rampant. And that spirit of Mephibosheth, David had a friend named Jonathan. And all David wanted to do when he became king was, is there somebody left in the house of Jonathan that I can be kindly to? His heart, because my love for Jonathan. Mephibosheth was brought into the king's house, but never would receive it. He never could figure out that David really loved him. And see, that's the way we are. His DNA is in me. What else does this mean? I have inside of me his lineage. I have an inheritance. I am an heir to the throne. I am an heir. My life is... Can I say this to you, especially all you people that, you know, they say he's 30 and over, 40 and over, and some of you just over? That's me, man. I got an AARP thing in the mail. I said, what the... I guess I'm over. Guess what? If God is my Father, let me tell you something. That is a truth that you cannot take from me. The best time of my life is still ahead of me. You go, oh, Brother Allen, you're getting old. You're wobbling and all that stuff. No, because I'm going to heaven for eternity because that's where my family is. That's where we live. I have a heritage. I am a part. I am a part. I belong. I'm accepted. I am accepted because he's my father. And the family is accepted. I get frustrated. I watched a movie. My wife is making me and my boys watch Hallmark movies. Yeah, she's making us. Isaac said to her one time, Mama, there ain't no killing in it. I said, well, that's probably a good thing. And so she says it's going to culture us, you know, bring a little culture to it. I laughed at that one too. Anyway, but we got on Netflix and we watched this movie. It's a quasi-Christian movie. I can't remember the name. It's something Courage. Man, there was a phrase in there that I have not gotten out of my mind. For 2 weeks, it just plagues me. And this guy, which I'll talk about in a minute, this guy had a sickness. He had to have dialysis, but every 2-3 days a week he would bring these project kids to his neighborhood, to his house, and he'd teach them stuff, and he would let them paint. He would love on them. He would teach them songs. He would talk about how valuable they are, all that stuff. All of them called him Papa. And he had to go to, he was a young man, that his kidneys were failing, and he had to go through dialysis 3 times a week, the pain of that. But he never stopped doing what he was doing. It was just one hard 11, 12-year-old kid. He was hard, didn't want to participate. He was hard. You know, he came every time, but he was too cool. You know, he didn't want people to know he made good grades and all that kind of stuff. Well, the guy got sick and almost died. And the little boy sneaks into the hospital room. And he's weeping. And he said, "Papa, I got to ask you a question. Will you be my dad?" Me and the Lord have prayed about that a lot. There is such a longing to belong. There's such a longing in people for the embrace of a father. There's such a longing. Another day I was praying about that. I said, "Lord, why has that bothered me so much?" He said, "Because I want you to know I'm willing if they'll cry out. Will you be my dad?" My answer is always yes. Now listen. We don't get no further than this right here. I know that church people and Christian people have hurt you. I know that some of you have grown up in families where they went to church, but they were different at home. I understand all that. But I want you to know that God is a good father. And He has things planned for you. And He loves you. I just had a burden this morning. I got up and I was praying. And man, I had this burden for prodigals. Don't you? This shows you the heart of God. This shows you the heart of God. His son, he had two sons. One of them said, "I want my inheritance." And went and lived every way that God wouldn't like. Every way that the father wouldn't like. And I want you to hear this. This has got to be for some in here. Are you hearing me? He went and lived everywhere. He did everything that the father stood against. But the Bible says he came to himself and he started walking back and said, "Look, I'll just be a servant. I'll just be a servant." And when the father saw him, he ran to him and never once did he call him a servant. He said, "My son has come home." Man, if you're a prodigal in here, man, God wants to be your dad. He loves you. Can we just stop? I know that some of you know prodigals. Some of you have prodigals in your family. Man, I just got a burden for them this morning. Can we just stop a moment and pray? Can we do that? Is that all right with you? That won't mess up your religious apple cart, will it? All right, I want you to just bow your head. If you got a prodigal in your family, I want you to begin to cry out to the Lord. Call their name out. If you got a friend that once walked with the Lord and has walked away, if you know somebody that once walked with the Lord and has walked away, I want you to pray for them right now. Okay? Father, I thank you. You have angels on assignment. I ask you to send out angels to every name that's being mentioned right now. God, I pray, Father, you'll bring the prodigals home. I pray that you'll touch them. I pray that you'll help them, Lord. And God, I just ask you to begin right now. Send those angels. Break all the chains. Let them come home. Let them know you, Father. In Jesus' name. I want to end this part by telling you, listen, my earthly dad is James Hickman. I want to be more like my heavenly Father. His blood flows through my veins. I have been born again. He is my dad. And why? You want to know why I'm not afraid of the future? Because my dad's already been to the future. I don't have to worry about the future because my dad knows what's going to go on. He's going to prepare a way. We might have to walk through troubles, but it don't matter. He's going to lead me through because that's what good dads do. They help us along our journey. And because of that, I don't have to fear. Man, that right there will lower your blood pressure. I mean, I'm going to help you physically today. If you'll grab onto that, you'll just run, well, you know, dad does got it. I love putting stuff on my dad's bill. My sons, there you go, I'm joking. Call my secretary, where's dad eating lunch? Killing me. Anyway, do you understand? If you cannot receive him and embrace him as Father, the rest of the Bible will break down. It will not work for you. You cannot stand on a promise that you don't believe the Father is going to make come through. If you don't trust him, then you can't stand on a promise. You'll stand for a little while, but then you'll take matters into your own hands. You'll look for happiness in other places. But once you know him as Father, we got to know what Dad... Let me quickly go through this. We got to know what Dad expects. What does Dad want from the family? What does Dad expect? How many of you are saved? You got Jesus in your heart. Okay, I'm fixing to tell you what our Heavenly Father expects. All this is in the Bible. I mean, you can look at Galatians 4... 5 and through 7, but I'm going to quickly go through this. Number one, participate. I need participation. I don't want my kids sitting over there staring at their goofy phone. I don't want them. I want them sometimes to talk to me. I want them to go on family trips. I want them to go to their brother's ball games and cheer their brother on. I want them to help. Now, sometimes I've had to make them, but now they're doing it on their own. And it blesses me to see them participate with the family. How much more? God wants you to participate, first of all, with the family of God, which is whatever church you go to. That's your family. And then we participate with the family of God at large. We support other people that are walking. We participate. We give life groups. Stop being so selfish in your prayers about life groups. Well, I ain't got time. I don't know which one would bless me, Lord. No. How about asking, Lord, which one do you want me to go? Because it might be your story that's a blessing to somebody else. Might be their turn. Amen? You might have the thing that's going to help them. Participate. Number two, love and take care of each other. There are 41 or 42, whichever one you want to count, whatever Bible you read, 41 or 42 one another's. And what that means is, it's direct commands from God how to treat other Christians, other family members. God expects you God expects you to love and treat your fellow Christians with kindness. Philippians 4, 1 through 6 is the verse for that. Just write that down. I'm not going to read it. But let me just say this to you. People ask me all the time, "Oh, look, I had seven teenagers. And look, if you've been around them, my wife is, her genes have been strong in their influence. Because they all strong-willed and hard-headed. They're a lot like their mother, you know, not soft-spoken and pliable like me." Why are y'all laughing, man? I don't understand that. But look, every one of them are strong-willed. People ask me all the time. Everybody look at me. I'm using a physical example, God, to show you a spiritual truth. People ask me all the time, I bet y'all had all kinds of fights. No. We didn't have any. You go, whoa. Because Dad didn't like it. And now sometimes Dad had to insert his will in the situation. Dad had to bring out his 54-inch belt to, you know, get everything under control. But let me just tell you, Dad didn't like it, and I still don't like my children arguing or hurting each other. But let me tell you what, just like I'm watching them now, my older sons send presents to the younger one. And you know what happens when that happens? I am unbelievably blessed. I'm going to say this to you, and I'm going to move on because I got to get to the last point. Some of you might not be feeling the love of God and the love of the Father because of the way you treat His children. He doesn't appreciate you talking bad about or hurting or being rude to His children. And you go, "Oh, well, God, let me just throw a verse out to you. You know there's a judgment for Christians. You know that? If you don't, you need to read the Bible. There's judgments for Christians. How about this one? How about if Dad brings it in, he says, you will give an account for every idle word." He was talking to Christians. "I didn't like the way you talked about my brother, your brother like that." Ooh. See, if you start thinking of it like family, you begin to go, whoa. That's right. Number three. You got to give your part. I would love for this family, every one of you, to be tithers. I don't care how much you give, just tithe what you got. I would love for you to give your part. I'm not asking how much and all that. Just give your part. But not only that, I want you to give what you've been given. Give your part. All of you have been given talents. All of you have been given gifts. Use what you've been given. I love it when my children play with the toys I've given them. Can I get a witness? I box them up when they tell me they know, all of them know. Don't say I'm bored. Don't ever say that. Because I just go and grab a box and I start getting their toys and boxing them up. Well, I'm going to take them to a kid. But do you understand? God has given us, every one of us, gifts and talents and time. And we're so overwhelmed just trying to get by when that was never. The way we get by is give away what we've been given. Ephesians 4:16. I got to read this one. Look at this one. from whom the whole body joined and knit together. We're family. We are family. We're knitted together. Every joint supplies something. I need you to supply something. You need me to supply something. For why? Why? According to the effective work of which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We're all blessed when we all give our time, our talents, our gifts. We're all better for it. It makes us all look good. Number four, continue the family business. Listen, the Bible says we're all to do the work of an evangelist. Right? You guys have been saved over 20 years. When's the last time you witnessed somebody? Don't answer. We're all to do the work. God loves birthing new children. He's like Amy. Amy, the other day, she told me, I'd take more babies as long as I didn't have to birth them. I mean, I'm like, that scares me when she starts, no. Do you understand? God loves birthing new children. It's the family business. We are to birth new children, seek and save that which is lost, and then train them what the family's supposed to look like. Right? Last thing, what do I get being part of the family? What do I get being part of the family? Number one, you get purpose. Man, there are so few people living with purpose. Your job is not your purpose. It's what provides for you. What's your purpose? God has one. When you're born again, you should have one. Jeremiah 1:5 says, look at this. Jeremiah 1:5 says this. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. Not only did he form us, he had a thought when he was forming you. He knows you. He has a plan for your life. And just to get by is not it. We have a purpose to fulfill. Second thing you get purpose, you get power. Power to do what? Power to overcome. Power to do whatever I need to do. Power to forgive. Some of you need to forgive some people that have hurt you. The Holy Spirit will give you that power. But not only that, power to have our prayers answered. Power to see miracles. Power to overcome, to stand in the face of darkness and say, no, you're not having this. No, I will not yield to that addiction anymore because that was what I was. But now I am a child of God and you don't got no place on me. I got power. The last one, passion. That's my definition of passion. Love that sacrifices. We have got, I'm going to pick on the young generation and a few of you tweeners. We have, basically, we're a passionless society. And the reason I'm saying that is because we've got our passion on things that don't amount to nothing. I mean, now we're passionate about Call of Duty. I mean, even some of my money, dadgummit, some of my money went to buy headphones and little things so they can talk to other people in other states while they're playing Call of Duty. And then, I mean, I hear them upstairs. I mean, that's what you want. Okay, well, I don't know. I can't. It's too many stupid buttons. I can't work them all at the same time. So I like the golf one where you press one, and then you press one again, and the ball goes. But, I mean, they're talking to each other. They're breaking a sweat. They're passionate about, hey, I hear them, I heard them talk about around the table the other day. oh, Garrett, he's the greatest, man. He's like in the top 42 in the world in Call of Duty. Listen to me. And all that means nothing. See, inside of you, you know you can be the best at that and it still amount to nothing of value. Something inside of you knows. And we have no passion that wants to sacrifice. See, when you start loving, you start feeling the love of God, all of a sudden you want to sacrifice and you're glad to do it. You sacrifice your time. You don't mind giving up your time. You're glad to see it. You don't mind doing things because you're glad to do it. In love that makes you sacrifice. You're glad to give your money, your time, your effort, all that because something inside of you go, now this right here is changing eternity. I got 3 or 4 letters from orphans, the foster kids that we gave bicycles to and gifts. And one of them said, golly. Said, I will never forget what y'all did for me. Now that is something worth getting up in the morning for. That is worth passion. That is worth sacrificing for. You see, when you follow Christ, all of a sudden you start sacrificing and you love to do it. You're excited about it. You go to work to finance your passion. See, we try to get defined by what we do. Listen, I'm not defined by I'm a preacher, whether I'm a good preacher or a bad preacher. I'm defined by the passion I live by. What are you passionate about? One of the reasons I see people right now, the only thing they're passionate about is anger. We just got a bunch of angry people around. When I'm called to do something, I love to sacrifice because, and you don't worry about the future, because my Father compels me. There was a man. I love it when God answers my prayers. Man, especially long-term ones. Let me tell you something, don't give up. Don't give up calling forth. There's a man I've been praying for years. For years. Seemed like things were going the opposite direction. Now all of a sudden, God has got in there and he's going on mission trips. He's taking care of single moms and getting the community to do it, to fix their houses up. He's giving of his money, of his time, of his deer hunting time, which was, I knew it was God when he said, well, I can't because I said, God, you done something now. Guess what? He's absolutely loving it. Now that's the way Christians in the family are supposed to live. Look, if I was just living to overcome or just try to get by, I would need some pills to get by. I would need help. But I'm part of the family of the King of the universe. We're world changers. That's what's in my DNA. We're prayers. We're people who love the unlovely. We're people who forgive. We're quick to forgive. Why? Because that's our family heritage. Some of you don't feel like you belong. because you hadn't got the first one right. You got to be saved. Some of you have been saved and you just can't believe God would love you like that. You can't go further if you don't believe that. God loves pronouncing it too. What was the first thing he did for Jesus? As far as we know, the first encounter Jesus had with God was what? His baptism, when he said, "This is my boy. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Can't live without it. I mean, I can't survive without that knowledge. Knowing in my spirit, no matter what happens, nobody can take that. Because it's who I am. I'm his child. Let me do a couple of things. Y'all don't mind, do you? I hope not. Lock the door. So I'm kidding. When I was looking, can you stand up, please? Yeah. I was walking around, and I felt, tell me your name. Jessica, I'm supposed to know you. Don't I know you? Okay. I was walking around, and man, the Lord told me, when I was thinking about, told me to pronounce over you some things. First of all, you are never alone. Stop feeling alone. Second of all, he's hearing your prayers. Okay. And thirdly, and maybe most important, you're wondering about the future and afraid and all those things. And God wants you to know he's got you. When you were born, he was there. If you'll just praise him, all of a sudden, he'll guide you right to the spot. Does that make sense to you? Been praying about some of that stuff. And I want you to hold out your hands. First of all, I want you to know you belong. You're dad's little girl. You're not slighted. You're not a stepchild. You're not abandoned. You're not forgotten. You're dad's girl. His beloved daughter in whom he's well pleased. Let me say it like that. All right, you need to receive that. You need to start saying it. Why don't you just start saying, I'm God's favorite. Ain't nothing wrong with that. God has a way of making all of us feel like we're his favorite. I say that. I'm God's favorite. All right? Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you. This was her day. A breakthrough. She's been praying that you would visit her. She has been praying, God, that you would speak to her. You heard her cries and said, God, I need you. Help me. So, Father, I pray that you will bless her today. Let her know she is not alone. Daddy, would you be with her? Just touch her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Huh? My wife's trying to tell me who that is. My brain gets scrambled when I preach. Come on, Ty. I'm going to do what the Lord... While I'm jumping off the boat, I might as well just dive in head first, yeah? Here's what I felt like the Lord. I was praying over all this and praying over that little boy. Will you be my dad? And God saying, I will. And I said, Lord, what's the invitation today? What would you like to do today? And here's what I felt like the Lord said. And some of you ain't going to like it. And you have your right to just stay stuck in the mud. God gives you dignity to reject him. But here's what I heard the Lord say. How about blessing me today? Just as clear as I'm sitting here. And I said, great, Lord, okay, let's do it. What are we going to do? He said, I love it when my children love on each other. He said, it blesses me. It brings a smile to my face. And I understood that. I'm a father. I love it when my sons help each other. I love it. Parents, remember the first time? I started remember the first time your kid shared their toy with somebody? You were so proud. You went, oh my God, let's throw a party. Lord, reminded me of that. Listen to me. God loves it when we bless each other. He loves it when we take care of each other. He loves it when we help each other. So here's what I'd like you to do. When everybody rises to your feet.